Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God really loves you. Didn't you have the breakfast? Today's title, message is titled, The God Whom Four Patriarchs Experienced. These last 4 weeks, the God of Abraham, the God of the Isaac, the God of Jacob and Joseph. Through four individuals, we had the messages, but now these four patriarchs, how did they meet with God? What kind of God did they really meet as their Lord? Today's message is like about that. You and I, how did you really meet the God? What kind of condition, situation was it? After you met him, this God, how did he really make you believe that the God? Then it's really important to know. Continuously, we had this message to tell you about who God is. Well, who is this God that we believe in? It's really important to know that. Because God is not really the God that we created. God himself exists. Money, metal, rocks, all these things. Through these things, and then we really formed the God. But it's not real God. The real God is the jealous God, that if you really bow down before the fake one, other one, don't really form any other God, even in the water, in the sky, in all this earth, you shouldn't bow down. Why? Because people think that all these idols are the God, and they will bow down before it. Why is that? God created everything on this earth for us. Then on the last day, he created man and woman in the image of God. How come God created everything before? And then why did he create Adam? Man and woman, the very last. We all have the flesh, but on this earth, if we don't have any physical things, then we cannot really live and survive. So all this creation was really happened before he actually created man and woman. That's why we should eat, we should drink, we should use on this earth. Because we are on the ground, we can walk. If we have the trees, lots of great trees, and then we can have the great oxygen, then we should have the ocean. If the air is polluted, then because of all these natures and the trees, and then it will be purified. But for the sake of humans, all these things have been created by God's word. Then how come did he really create human at very last? In the image of God. But in another word, we do have the flesh form, but we do have the spirit in it. So this spirit must really meet God. Only human can really have the blessing to fellowship God. We are the existence of the worshiping God and praising God. When God really created things, all these creations, then God said it's good. But when he created us, humans, then he said it's very good. When you really have a baby, how adorable that baby is, even if it's a rat or mouse, So even if you're mom of the mouse, and then when the mother look at its offspring, and then she will feel it's good. So we are more beautiful than these flowers. Why? Because we do have the spirit, and we are the beings to give worship. And that's how God created us. So only human wants to save all of us without any exception. So when you're really saved, it's not really like, oh, you just believe in Jesus. But you really must know that the Christ actually is crucified on the cross. And if you really believe in Christ, and then your status will be changed. And then you really have to change your status, because Christ is the one who will really solve all these problems. So God really gave us this right and the blessing. So if you're born as the human, then you must meet God. How come? Why? Because being born into this world is not something that you have to look at. You need to look at that we have, all of us were born with the spiritual problems. Authority of the hell, authority of the darkness. We didn't even know how scary that would be. As long as we are born as the offspring of Adam, and then none of us will have no choice but to have the spiritual problems. Even if you get promoted, if you possess something, all these things is not really gonna help you. That's why the God Himself has sent to this only Christ to this earth. Even the Muslim man who claimed himself as a Christ and God, but he died and he didn't even resurrect. Same thing with Buddha, and then all these gods and goddesses were created by human. But God, the creator God, really exists all by himself. In another word, it's not someone that was created depending on something. All of us are depending on something. All of us. Without your parents, how could you be born? They are same thing with the parents. If they are not born, if they didn't really have their grandparents, and these grandparents were born in the great parents. So if we go up all this the family line, and then you will see that Adam and Eve will come up. So all of us as the human do have that spirit in ourselves. Then that's how we are born with. So unconditionally, you have to meet God, you have to believe in Christ. You shouldn't really have any conditions. It's unconditional. Because God really gave us this agape's love, that is unconditional love. If there is a condition, none of us will be saved. Agape's love is the unconditional love without the conditions, and then God really wanted to save all of his people, because he knew that none of us will come out from the destiny, and we should really come out all this destiny and then become a child of God. That's why God himself came to us as Christ, and then he finished everything on the cross. And if you really accept Jesus Christ, and then your status will be changed to the God's child. That's the salvation. Coming to church, attending church, doesn't really lead you to the salvation. You must really know and believe in the fact that the Christ really came. And so now you came to the church, and then come to God to give worship. Why do we have to give worship? All of us do have the life. From the day that you were born and until you go back. But this life, there is only two backgrounds that it will be working upon. This invisible Satan is, Satan is also the spiritual beings, and then this Satan was really originally the angels. And then this Satan is a beings that is really go against Satan, against God. And this Satan really grabbed 1/3 of the angels. And then Satan is the evil. Evil spirits, devil. We cannot see that. But in the Bible, because angel got corrupted, and this Satan will be active till the end of this world. This existence really captures all this fate that we cannot really come out. It looked like it's me really working hard, but you do have this situation, then you have to know that behind of that everything, then who Satan was working. Because people don't know the God's word, therefore they don't know what's really going on spiritually. Even if you don't tell them, they wouldn't know. That's why you preach the gospel and then you tell them. Number two, those who are really saved and become a child of God, then as soon as they accepted Christ, and then Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to me and indwelled in us, then that's the salvation. You and I, then God will be responsible for our lives, and it will be leading us. So in your life, in yourself, there's God. Even regardless of that, you will have some difficulties in your daily life. Whenever you have that kind of problems, then you really have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and then everything will be answered. That is why, because the Holy Spirit indwells in you, then you have the problems, don't be worried about it. Instead, you need to look upon God and pray to God. There are many things that is not really going well, even though you have prayed. Then that time, then God will send you the angels, and then from that situation, from that pains, God will pull you out. And there is the around you, then you will, these beings will really deceive you through the word of people. And this is the being of the spirit, the evil spirit. But you have received the authority to break down this darkness. So in front of you, then this darkness will be broken down. If you go against the evil spirit, then it will be casted away. Even if it comes to you, it will go out to the seven different ways. When you really pray for the name of Jesus Christ and everything, all the darkness will be really kneeling down before you. So this kind of fact, then knowing that actually God is really being responsible for your entire life, even now God is really listening to your prayer. So those who really pray, believe in God, won't really worried. Even if they have the pains, if they have the hardships, if they have the sufferings, and then all the Christians will be able to find out what the reason of these problems. Then when you realize that, then you will receive greater blessings and answers. Non-believers will have the same thing even with Christians, because they don't know the way. They have to be diligent. They have to just work hard all by themselves. If they don't, then you will end up with the homeless. They will end up with committing suicide. Sometimes they will be addicted to the alcohol, will addicted to the drugs. You have no choice but to be addicted to something. So that's why those people who don't really know God on this earth would be really addicted to something. But you and I are created in the image of God. 100%, you really have to meet God. Do you think that you can live without God? You might be fine if you don't believe in God, if you not really believe in the God's word. But it would be true in this physical world. Even if you can have the long life, it will be around 70, 80, maybe longer person will live until 100. But with that, even within that span of time, and then you can just live physically about 100 years, then after that, what will happen? If you don't know God, then the Satan will be the evil spirit will be with you, your spirit, and the evil spirit is the one that will confuse people, covering and then hide all this fact that God exists, and because of that darkness, and to really put this darkness into the prison. That's why the hell was really created. That's what we call the hell. Your belief for these things wouldn't really matter, because even if you don't believe there is a hell or not, then because it exists. So the salvation is really coming out from this prison and the hell and going to then enter into the God's kingdom. This eternal kingdom of Satan is the hell. Then you can even say that the eternal God's kingdom is in heaven. If after you die and then your flesh body will turn to the dust, but your spirit will be either ascending to heaven or descending to the hell. So while you're really living on this earth, and you really have to know that the Christ was really sent, and then Christ is the one who really solved the problems of Satan and the darkness and the curses. Because if you really accept this Jesus Christ, and then you have no choice but to be really free, people don't know the Bible. People don't know anything about this spiritual world. So if they can do really something great, and then they can go to the heaven. Then who created such things? And it's created by men. Because God never said something like that. If you really go to the, if you attend to the church, then could you be, you should be serious and diligent. Actually, those who really go to the church can be more cruel. You go out and then preach the gospel. Then look at the people who stopped going to the church. But because of all these current and existing Christians, and that they get tempted, and then they will stop going to the church. So the salvation wouldn't be given by the attending the church. You really must believe in the Christ to be saved. From the beginning, these people, who do they say I am? Some people are saying that you are the Elijah, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And all the people are really talking who Jesus was based on their own views of the religions and churches. But when the apostle says something like that, then Jesus didn't even blink. If I were him, I would say that that's your walk of faith, that Jesus was so still and quiet. Really, none of them will understand who I am. How could they really look at me like that? I don't understand. Maybe he was very amazed. But that time, Peter said to Jesus and confessed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Peter confessed that, and then Jesus was really stood up. Are you really coming out from that parent? You're really blessed. I'll give you the keys of heaven, and the door, gates of the Hades will not overcome it. And I will build the church on your rock. And from now on, whatever you ask for in my name, and then it will be all given to you. And that's what Jesus said and gave the promise to Peter. So it's not really about going, attending to the church. You really must believe that you will receive the blessing if you go to the church. Of course, you will receive the spiritual blessings to become a child of God, to be saved. That's the greatest blessing. However, you exclude all the salvation and exclude all the spiritual things, and then you ask that my business will go well, or my health, I have the disease and I want to be healed. All this physical desire that you have is the one that you grab hold on to. Then you pray and you ask to God. Then if you don't really get the result in the way you want it, if you don't have the money, if your business doesn't go well, if your disease doesn't really be cured, doesn't get cured, and then you will be blaming, and you will stop going to the church. So it's all religion. Now all of us will have going to the church, and look at all the people, they don't really believe in God. They are really religious. All of us, if you fall into the religions, and then you become worse. Even though you go to church, you become worse. Because there will be lots of people who will just try to deceive and fraud. All of us are working so hard for the sake of our own desire and taking advantage of people. So if you don't really have the gospel, even if you go to church, and because of the trials, then these people will leave. And this kind of thing is really happening in all over the world. I don't want to be a pastor like that. I'm not here. I'm not the pastor to really try to have the revival in the church. Each of you should really know God in the accurate way, and then all of us should be able to believe in God. Then pastor is not the one who has the power and then be able to bless you. It's not pastor. The word that the pastor will proclaim, then through that, God will be really working upon and giving the blessing. God will be working upon you. Therefore, you have to grab hold onto the covenant, God's word, very firmly. These four patriarchs, four chiefs, in Exodus 3:14-15, what did it say? I am who I am. I am who I am. God didn't really depend on something, but he just exists all by himself. I am who I am, and then this is the one who really created everything. So God himself introduced himself. God himself introduced himself to Moses. What did he say? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's how he introduced himself. And what else? Then, after this introduction, this is my eternal name. This is my name forever. So he's the eternal existence, and therefore his name is eternal. So it is that this is my name forever. So this is the name you shall call me from generation to generation. What does that mean? It's not just your generation that to believe in Christ, but even your offsprings, that your next generations must be really receiving this covenant. Until when? Until that Jesus comes for the second time. All of us, many of us, go to church, attend the church, but we will keep losing hold of this covenant. That's why we have our own views of the religions. This is like a church must be something like this. You have your own beliefs and standards, and that's how you go to church. So you will tend to think that your diligence matters. Just all by yourself, you can just take good care of your own walk of faith. But that's not it. When God really called you through individual, all this house, family line should be evangelized through each of you to the next generations. This covenant of the gospel must be delivered through each of you in that region, in your own region. Then this word of God must be spread through you. You have to grab a hold onto the covenant, and then do you go your life or not? After you believe in the decades, then still these kind of people can't really evangelize. Why? Because they're just trying to keep their own faith all by themselves. So it's not like that. Those who really believe in God, I'm not sure if it's miracles or not. I think that many of them will be just try to take care of themselves so that they can really be different after they believe in Christ. But that is not, and so they really think that their different actions would determine their faith. Raise your hand if you never got furious after you believe in Christ. Raise your hand if you never ever had fight after you believe in Christ. No righteous man exist. Why? Because all of us committed sins, and then we are short to receive the glory of God. In front of God, all of us are sinners. My righteousness, I'm good at this, I can do this well, I can live without the laws. But in front of God, it's just the dirty clothes that you're wearing in front of God. Doesn't really matter how beautiful your clothes may be, but some days later it will get dirty. But that's what we say our righteousness is. You and I, how should we really believe in God? This is how Abraham believed. Abraham. Abraham really believed the God as his holy father. I'm pretty sure you understand this. Abraham always gave the altar, built the altar. Then how did God really appear himself to Abraham? You are the blessing. So God gave to Abraham as the, and then God really met Abraham as the fundamental blessing. God can make you live. God can make you die. God can make you happy and unhappy. All this sovereignty is in the God's hand because we are created. Abraham, said that from the beginning, God really called me as the blessing. And you have already received the blessing, and then your days have been started. So yourself is the blessing. If you look at my wife's phone, you're the blessing. The Pastor John, the second son, the nickname is the blessing. So he was the first son. My first son is the he was like studying abroad and somewhere in the U.S. But whenever we enjoy something, then something like good food and something like that, then the John, Assistant Pastor John, who just pops up. And that's why he is the blessing. So you and I, if you look at in the eyes of God, you're not the beings to have pains and to suffer all the time. You are called as the blessing. It's not really just a portion, but just for the entire life. Fundamentally, in your pocket, look at the amount, and if you have a lot, and then you will be like go straight and then walk boldly. But when you don't have anything in your pocket, and then you feel so small, then being suppressed. We have really weird personalities, right? If you have something, you feel like you're someone else. Then if you don't have, you feel small and weak. Really, you have received this blessing. Why? Because you know God. You know how great the God's power is. If you know that, then actually everything is done. You don't know anything about God. That's why you use your measurement and then you try to understand things. All this rooted in you, it will be with those things. Those things became your standard, and that's how you're going to live. Your system itself will just make you not be able to do something. And in that kind of system, in that kind of poor system, you always think that the something should take place, but you cannot really change. But you should change that system. How? When you really believe in God's word. Because you can really believe in God, that who will really work upon your, like go beyond your thoughts. You have to believe in God as the God. Is God your slave? You made some mistake and you made a mess. And then you treat God like as your secretary, saying like, you have to clean up my mess. When really at the moment that God calls you, then God gave you everything, then you really must grab hold on to that God's plan. Then if you don't have the health, then health will be given. If you need money, the money will be given. Then all these things will be really given to you. That's how God will provide. That's why you're weak. Then that's why you pray. You're inadequate. That's why you pray. You face the limit. That's why you pray. You make choices, you judge, and then you decide at whose level? It's that level of yourself that people around you cannot understand. People don't understand your own level, but you insist that that is right, and you will just go with your stubbornness, and then people will tell you that's wrong, it's not that accurate, but you will just go ahead and do that. Then you really think that you're great. When you really talk to you guys, and then all of us will talk about our own level, but we think that we are great. those who can't really cannot really do, then that person has the system that will not that will block them doing something. But you really have to have that your own thoughts that this is how God is really working upon. You really have to make the levels like upgraded. Who has more conflicts? Those who really have can really do things. Those people don't really worry. Those people who cannot really do well will be really focusing on the small things. When I talked to the college student in Todai, and they are like eating at the same time, they are reading a book and they're drinking. And then I didn't even see a person talking to anyone. Then I was really. Then I went there. We went there to evangelize. Then I asked them like, "Do you have the time, some time, to talk?" And then she said, and they said, "No, I don't have the time to talk to you. Or I don't. Do you have some worries?" And they said, "No, I don't have any worries. I don't even have the time for that." But where there's that we went to different college, and then in the campus, some of them are really drinking from the day. And then when I asked them, like, "Do you have any worries?" And they are full of worries. "Yes, I do have lots of concerns." In Tokyo University, there are no people who don't really have to. They couldn't focus on their own worries, but these kids who had lots of time were worrying about something more. You are called as that blessing. If I talk like this, then I think it will just take more than 1 hour, so I will proceed. So God called Abraham as the fundamental blessing. Foundation of the blessing. Then Genesis 14, that in that age the salt was very important. If there's no salt and water, they couldn't make a living. Now in the Dead Sea, the salt is very famous, right? And they were actually fighting over the salt. Then Lot was really having the key of the everything. Why? Because Lot was the one who really chose the Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was caught. And then actually Abraham went there to rescue the Lot. So God really gave this blessing. If you look at that, it's a righteousness, God of righteousness and love. You know the pigeon. Pigeon. He was supposed to cut the pigeon and then gave that as the offering. But then Abraham didn't do that. But because of that, his offsprings were sent as a slave. When you really prepare something, when you have something in your hand, because you are powerful, then that's why you're used by God. Even if you're weak and small, and even if you hit the limitation all the time, but if God really, when God really sees you, then if you grab really hold on to the covenant, it doesn't really matter. You can be weak. Even God will really feel that weakness, and then still God will fulfill his promise and covenant. So don't pay attention to anything else, but what you really have to do and focus is that you really have to grab hold on to that God's word, even one word of it. Surely God is the one who will fulfill his promise and covenant. Because God has really created everything with His own word, and He will fulfill. Then God didn't say anything to Abraham, but Abraham was full of his own thought, his own standard, his own plan, his own decision. He kept making mistakes. These mistakes, he had to realize. Then he gave the worship in front of God. Then to Abraham, God kept telling him the covenant. But then when Abraham really believed and grabbed hold onto the covenant and believed in the covenant, and that's how God was really working upon Abraham. So when you walk, when you have the walk of faith, that means you have to have the word of God. That's why you need a pastor, right? Because a pastor will tell you and teach you the part that you don't understand. God is the one who will fulfill this covenant. In the chapter 15:17-18, then God gave the covenant. And through God's word, then God really worked upon Abraham. Then Genesis 19, God is the God of judgment. If you can really read the Bible, then you will be able to understand. Then the laws and the gospel were delivered. The law, look at the Genesis 21. Isaac, God promised with Abraham that he will give the Isaac. But that time, the Abraham was 100 years old, and his wife, Sarah was 90 years old. But then Abraham kept thinking, well, God said that he will give me a son. But when I look at my wife, Sarah, her womb is closed. Then how could it be possible to bear a child? Then God said that I will have a son. Then he looked at around him, and then he just saw the Hagar. Well, she is younger than Sarah, at least. God will give me a son through Hagar. Then that's how this one son was born. But then that's how the Ishmael was born, the offspring of the Ishmael. It's still causing the battles and wars in this current age. But God said, not through Ishmael, with Sarah, you will have a son, offspring. Even if it's at her own age, even if it's 100 years, 1,000 years, it doesn't really matter. Why? I will still give you a son. Why? Because I'm the creator. You look at the God's word, and at your own level, you will decide and you will judge. And then at the end, you will do something in the wrong way. You should really grab hold onto the covenant. You should really wait. Because the angels were sent there to... Sarah was cooking. Then angel actually appeared to Abraham, and Isaac will be born. And then Sarah was laughing because, how old am I? Then Isaac really means the laughter. Once God promised with you, it will not change. You have to grab hold onto the covenant. You shouldn't be shaking. You should get rid of all your thoughts, because if it's the God's promise, then it will be fulfilled. Then one day you will realize that the God had really be God has really answered according to the God's promise. So Ishmael was really born according to the law, and then according to the law, but Isaac was born as the son of the gospel. The Isaac was offered at Mount Moriah. This is what the God told Isaac, Abraham. Then Abraham really offered Isaac generously. So because God never hesitated. So God gave the only son, Jesus Christ, to us generously. Our Father God, His word is really being fulfilled. That's what you can see. Isaac. Through Isaac, we can see the Jesus Christ. Who is Isaac? Genesis 17:19. When God gave Isaac to Abraham, there is the content written. The only son. And when Jesus Christ was sent, it also said only son. Then Isaac's birth was prophesied. When Jesus Christ was born, of course, there was prophecy. The angel came, and then even they said the names. So when Isaac was born, then his parents were 100 years old and 90 years old. It was very miraculous. Same thing with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The womb was dead, and how could you prove scientifically that can happen? It's a miracle. Then how could, there is no man, but how could you be pregnant? That's also a miracle. Who can make it possible? Only by God. Only by God that's possible. All this content is written. Isaac. He was the only one inheritance. He was only the only heir. Then also Jesus is the only heir. He was offered as the burnt sacrifice. He should be offered as the sacrifice. The sacrifice means you grab and you catch the animal, then they will cut the head and they will shed all this blood, and they will separate the skin, meat, and bones, and then they will burn everything. So Abraham was about to cut off the neck, Isaac's neck. Then after that, the skin, organs, blood, flesh, all these things should be separated. How could you do that to your own son? But God really tested on Abraham that this son that Abraham got when he was at 100 years old, God really wanted to see how obedient that Abraham can be. Then he was really tied Isaac up, and then he was about to kill Isaac. But God appeared to Abraham that instead of Isaac, there's a sheep. Then you have to grab that sheep and then kill it and give that to me. How come the people will die? People will die because of the original sin. If you cannot solve the original sin, and then you have no choice but to be cursed. So God Christ didn't come to solve your problems that you can see as the result. He came to this earth to save me, so take me out from the original sin. When you say, I want to meet God, then that's how you will meet God. That problem that Jesus Christ is the one who really solved this fundamental problem. So through Isaac, then God was explaining what the gospel is. On this earth, as long as they are born as the human, they have to die. But because of that, God himself sent his only son, that is Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, and these fundamental problems will be solved. It's really important. We don't have much time. Number three, the God of Jacob. It means that it teaches the Holy Spirit. Esau Jacob was really running, escaping to the family of his mother. So he was really escaping. Then for the sake of one bowl of the soup, then Esau was chasing after Jacob. But Jacob's mom was the covenantal woman. So if you're anointed, Jacob's mom gave the oil to Jacob so that Jacob could really build the altar. Then one day, Jacob was falling down because he was so tired. But that time, God really showed that all this stairway was going up, and then and stairways, and the angels were really going up and down. And then Jacob saw that, and he built the altar, and he really had the pledge that I will build the temple here when I come back. If you look at the early church, because they really preached the gospel, they got persecuted, they are scattered. But among them, they are but in those situations, they kept giving the worship. Look at the Bethel. It means it's a house of God. That means the temple house. Jesus died on the cross and he got resurrected. Now the Holy Spirit indwells in us. And that's why we said that as that temple, God is within us. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Jacob knew that he was the temple. No matter where he was, he looked upon God and he gave worship. You and I are not the ones who really come to this church building and give worship, but at home you can give worship because you are all scattered to the field. Then you can talk about God's word, and then you can really give worship. Why is that? Because you and I are the temples that has the God's spirit indwells. So we are the temple. This church building is just a building. Those who are really saved get together here and they give worship. This is a building. But the church itself is you. Because the Holy Spirit indwells in you. That's why you are the temple. Then, that means you can go anywhere, you can give worship anytime, anywhere. Because you are the temple. Jacob was really running away and staying with his uncle's place. Then he couldn't even get any kinds of payment. Then he was having a hard time for 21 years. Probably Jacob was thinking like this. Because I stole the the blessing of the firstborn child, but maybe I'm just going through these hardships. But he was going through these hardships, but he gave the birth to the 12 sons. Jacob got wealthy, and he was about to return to his home. And with all these things, properties, and then he wanted to have the forgiveness from his older brother. But Esau also got wealthier. But he brought the army, about 400 people. It's 400 people, 400 soldiers, times three meals in the day. You should really have the great economical power to really feed them. But when Jacob heard that news, that his brother was actually coming to him with his army, then he just realized that Bethel, to return and build the temple there. But God told Jacob that don't call yourself Jacob anymore. You will call yourself Israel. Israel means the people, God's chosen people. These 12 tribes changed to the Israel. Then later on, Joseph would be sold as a slave to Egypt, and all these places got suffered under the famine. Then all these people of this Jacob's family came to Egypt. 3 million people became the population of the Israel. And they really came out from Egypt. And maybe by appearance, they really look like they are really having a hard time, pains and all that. But through everything, God was really blessing them. And you should really receive the grace, and you should really receive the blessings. I'm having a hard time to raise up all these kids and in this country. You may be saying like that, but you have to grab hold on to the covenant. But if you really grab hold of the covenant, then all these hardships that you may be going through, upon those things, God will work. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. God's work. So the conclusion, Joseph. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All this covenant that Joseph grabbed hold on to, these all the covenants. That's why, as I said last week, he was sent as the missionary to Egypt as a slave. He was nobody. No one could help. No one could help. No one could help. Joseph. He was very going through the very sad, lonely path. He may be having a hard time, but God was with Joseph, who grabbed hold onto the covenant. Because of Joseph, the Potiphar's house got blessed. What is that? Those who really grab hold onto the accurate covenant. Within the Christ, this Jesus Christ is the one who really solved my problems, and that's why, in order for me to deliver that, then God really called me. So this is the time. Right now, it's the time that the God's promise is really fulfilled. Do you understand? That's why. These people's life is not just the normal life. They really had the life story to fulfill the God's work. So even though they really live diligently, but you really have to make that your life story should be there. This is what I said last week. There's the house for the soup. The generations to generations, they cook this fish and then they make the soup. Generation to generation in Ueno, there's some business that they are really doing, making all this corn. They knelt down and in a small room, and they're making all this. Many of you are here, but if you just focusing on just cooking all this all the time, but when you really leave this land, you really have to think if God really called you for the sake of making all these things only. So, but you shouldn't really leave this land after you just only did the work on this earth. You can cook the soup, but you can cook, but also you can evangelize. If you're around you, if there are people who are really spiritually destroyed, and if someone will be really suppressed, but these people, then you don't talk about any gospel, but you will just keep cooking the soup. Then you say that was your life. If you don't know the God's word, if you are really separate from God, and then all this brain and all everything is separate from God. So they cannot really see the world. This gospel is something that you will make you, will enable you to see the world. Through this small skill, even though I'm small beings going through all these pains and all that, but still I'll be used to revive the world. You will open up the eyes to see the world. And that's why you are born and your life is given. Then your target will be different if you realize that. So you should really have that thought. If you really look at the people who doesn't really know God, all the professors in the Tokyo University, I met all these politicians, governors, but these people, they will form the cultures, then they will be busy with doing that. And they are good at it. But you and I will be reviving and saving the people who are recreated in the image of God. We will revive these people, and we will raise them as the disciples. So God really gave us the our life story, you have to have that. When someone died, and they usually on the tomb, and they will put the quote. They will write. They will curve the quote. Then this person didn't have anything to refer to his own father. Then he curved my father, ate and died on this memorial. I think that means that this father couldn't do anything while he was alive. Then the image of this father was just he ate and he died. This today, should you just eat and die? Don't live this life with your own thought, but you have to grab hold onto the covenant. You have to believe in it. Then even if you have all this stubbornness in your mind, still, it will be softer. The Satan will make you to know only the physical things. If you don't know God, then you will be stubborn. But once you know the God, and then you will have that wisdom, and this wisdom will make you successful all the time. But the Satan is grabbing your brain and then make you really silly and dumb. When you have the problems, then Satan will make you fall into the problems. Satan will make you give up. That's the work of Satan. But this Satan was crushed by Christ. So if you believe in this Christ, then you really have to be bold, and then really have the renowned life. That's the evangelism. That's the word evangelization and mission. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us this precious word of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My name will be forever. And please give us the grace so that we can really keep believing in God's word and in all these four chiefs, just like their life story today. All these people who are really loved by you, will really have that life story in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.